Let me, there's a gentleman by the name of Rob, top counterterrorism guy, wrote a whole article on this, which got me thinking about it. Did a great job, I might add. The name of the article was How Fast, Frequent, and Fake Terrorism Could Sink the EU. You can Google it up and read it for yourself. It's terrific. In terms of fake terrorism, this is not even real terror attacks. I'm going to quote from the article. In the current environment, every threat, every attempt is taken seriously by the government. Police, fire, and the military responds. Buildings are searched. People are accosted. It costs orders of magnitude more to respond to a fake attack than it takes to mount it. Airports are closed. Subways are suspended. Traffic is stopped. These attacks can be made frequently, he's talking about the fake attacks, with very little risk or cost to the attacker. Simply, anybody can participate with 10 minutes of instruction. I want you to think about that for a moment. He did a study on what fake terror attacks are costing in Europe. Quote, the ROI, return on investment, for making fake attacks against EU targets could exceed $1 million to $1. That's a million to one, folks. If 10,000 fake attacks are made in the next year by self-activating, super-empowered individuals, the cost would be incalculable. In other words, for every dollar that the terrorists, you know, they mount one successful attack, gets everybody on edge, and then a bunch of fake attacks, false alarms. For every dollar they expend in mounting a fake attack, the responding governments are going to spend $1 million. I want you to think about that. It's phenomenal. It's astronomical. Let me give you some costs of the actual attacks. The economic costs of the Paris attacks, remember those last November, where 130 people were killed, are estimated at $9 to $12 billion. That's the cost of those attacks. The cost to the terrorists, I mean, yes, there was some logistics and some transportation, etc. But really, they just needed some assault rifles and plastic explosives. We're talking about a couple $1,000s. I mean, if you're talking about the calculus of blood, it's a phenomenal return. A phenomenal, no pun intended, bang for your buck. September 11th, 2001, right? Our day. When the towers came down. The attacks against the World Trade Center and the Pentagon, I want you to know, were initially estimated by our asleep at the switch, don't want to tell you the truth, please omit anything that doesn't correspond to our agenda media, at $27 billion. That was their estimate. That was the official word. But if you take, since September 11th, all the direct, long-term, and indirect expenditures, and loss of business, and loss of economic benefits, and you name it. The economic impacts, if you want to extend it, even the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, veterans care, you name it. Do you know what it costs us? $3.3 trillion so far. $3.3 trillion. That is what September 11th has cost the United States of America so far. The 9/11 Commission estimated that it cost al-Qaeda $400,000 to $500,000 to stage that attack. I want you to think about that. It cost them $500,000. It's cost us $3.3 trillion. Do you understand the economic aspect of this asymmetrical battle for civilization that we are involved in? Let me give you another study that was done. Some very interesting stuff out there once you start getting into this. If you're talking about defense against terrorism, there was a study that was conducted at Tel Aviv University. I mean, Israel is, you know, pretty much ground zero for terrorism. The economic consequences of terrorism in Israel between 1994 and 2003, that's 9 years, affected Israel's per capita GDP, that is, the amount of GDP, gross domestic product, that's allocated to each person in the country, by 8.6%. In other words, every person's net spendable, I'll call them dollars, would have been 8.6% more, except for defense against terror. So, for you left-leaning folks out there, and actually for my entire audience, I want you to think about the expenditures of all those funds. The majority of them, by the way, on fake attacks. And how many hospitals, how many schools could have been built with that money? How many roads could have been built? Life-saving drugs developed. Jobs created. Productive investment that would have created opportunities for many people. So, you can see that there is an economic equation to this war. And I will tell you that some of the experts right now are very concerned about kind of a Tet offensive, if you will. You know, kind of a rash of attacks and a rash of fake attacks over the coming year/years that could be debilitating to our economy. Never mind their direct human impact. And I want you to know, and I've brought this up to you before, Saudi Arabia, who has been pretty much linked to having some role in the 9/11 attacks, perhaps just financial, if they go down, folks, and Iran, ISIS, who knows what combination of bad guys take over, that money and that oil production, you could see, once again, no pun intended, an explosion of terror, even more than we have now experienced over the last several years. I mean, literally, we've gone from one a month to one a week, and now we're at one a day. You know, there's a Saudi connection, by the way, to the latest attack in America, to San Bernardino. The wife, who our great vetting process that our politicians say will protect us from the Syrian refugee ISIS plants. The wife, of course, got through lying about her background, lying about her address, lying about her affiliations, with known Facebook and social media posts praising ISIS and jihad, ignored. And she grew up and was trained as a jihadi in Saudi Arabia. So, do you remember Barack Obama bowing to the King Faisal, now dead? Remember Barack Obama bowing to him? And this was not, the left tried to say, oh, he swallowed a nut wrong. I don't know what. He had a stomach ache. He was tying a shoe. No, he bowed to the King of Saudi Arabia. I've thought about that a lot. You should too. In any event, Let's move on, shall we? Because all this show is kind of like a platform and then a higher platform and then a higher platform or lower, however you'd like to look at it. Now, with that background, let's go to your tax dollars, or in this case, our British friends' tax dollars, like our own, funding radical jihad and Islamic terrorism. So, where do we start here? What fun is this? So there's about £75 million, by the way, a pound is more than a dollar. £75 million that the British, through their Department of International Cooperation, has been funding, give or take, every year to Hamas and the Palestine Liberation Organization. And there was a pretty big study done and some great articles in the UK, the latest of which, by the way, came out Tuesday, March 29th. How's that for recent? It comes to find out that just taking last year, the £72 million that went to the PLO and Hamas, 8 million of it went to go for a brand new, incredibly spacious, state-of-the-art, £8 million new presidential palace for Aboud, the president of the PLO. You think graft and corruption is just in Hillary? In Hillary's foundation or in Barack Obama's administration, or for that matter, in, I'm sure, several Republican senatorial offices? No, it's kind of all over the world, folks. It's all over the world. What you'll really like is that this money also pays, you can't make this up, pays salaries and bonuses. It is used by the PLO and Hamas to pay salaries and bonuses to terrorists, to the families of martyred terrorists, using their words, and to convicted terrorists, who, by the way, happen to all be free men right now, because the UK has been involved in its own little, shall we say, Gitmo-like detainee release program. Yeah, they've been releasing the enemy back to the enemy, just like we've been releasing the enemy back to the enemy. Of course, they've been releasing privates, we've been releasing generals. Remember my football metaphor. Imagine if the coach of your favorite football team gave your Super Bowl quarterback to your Super Bowl rival team. How's that? That metaphor catch you? Let me give you a couple examples. And by the way, this is in the British Mail, MAIL. That's the paper. And they're doing a series of articles. You can get it on the web. And it's pretty fascinating reading. Pretty scary reading, I might add. So as a couple of examples, there's a guy by the name of Amjad Awad. He and his cousin, Hakim Awad, blew up a house in Israel and killed Ehud and Ruth Fogel and their three kids. That's in the West Bank in 2011. They were shortly released, and though they've been convicted for life, they're free to do whatever they want in the Palestinian territories in Gaza. And they're each getting £16,000 a year from British taxpayers through their Ministry of International Lovey-Dovey. You like that? Pretty cool, huh? Then we have a guy by the name of Abdullah Bagawi, Bagouti. He was a top bomb maker for Hamas. He was sentenced to life after he killed a bunch of people in bomb attacks in Jerusalem and Tel Aviv. He was also traded for political prisoners by Israel, etc., etc. And the PLO has given him over 106,000 pounds. These are just a couple of examples in these articles. I mean, there's like, well, they go on and on and on and on. I might add that also, when there was a big dispute between Hamas and Hezbollah and the PLO and all this kind of stuff, this is several years ago. A bunch of people killed, infighting, you name it. Kind of like the Sunni and the Shia. This was the PLO, the Hamas, and Hezbollah. To make a long story short, when the dust settled, the PLO kind of came out on top, so to speak, which of course is why Abood is building his 8 million pound presidential palace using British taxpayers' money and hiring convicted terrorists as guards and paying them 106,000 pounds a year and all sorts of other stuff. But in addition, when all this came down, the government functions, such as they are in Gaza and the Palestinian territories, there were like 60,000 government workers that were let go. This is several years ago now. I mean, back to 2011, 2012. They interviewed a number of people in this particular article, one of the several, who have never gone back to work. There's been no new job for them. Yet they're still being paid their salary using both American money, foreign aid money from the State Department, and from Britain's Ministry of International Lovey-Dovey Kumbaya. In fact, of the 72 million pounds that comes from British taxpayers, it is estimated that literally 71 million pounds goes to people who aren't working, the families of suicide bombers, convicted terrorists, and of course, graft and corruption, including the 8 million pound palace for the PLO president, just getting the final touches on its water fountains. So, what we have going on in America, government funding of Muslim extremism, jihad, and Islamic terrorism is going on through the auspices, I might add, and through the influence of the same organizations. The British version of CARE, the Muslim Brotherhood, which is worldwide, that I talked about in last week's show. This enemy is so clever, folks, that while they bleed us dry through 1,000 paper cuts, as I was talking about in the segment before this, they are actually getting us to pay them to fight us in the real attacks, never mind the fake ones. It's like a vampire that has a third tooth. And it's our money out of our pockets, sucked from our defense, that Barack Obama is purposely degrading. Europe has long ago degraded theirs. I mean, think about the circle of bad stuff that this all comes out to. Think about it. Just think about it. It's It's unbelievable. All right. Next week, I'm going to talk some more about some of the Moss in the United States and the money that they're getting. But this all ties in because this is a Western world phenomena. And it's a phenomena that has accelerated and become more insidious and more pervasive and more expensive since the election of a gentleman by the name of Barack Hussein Obama. All right. You know, I am pushing the edge of the outer limits here. I am unfortunately not going to have time, although I really wanted to because it's really all part of the same story, to talk about the VA and the scurrilous, scandalous, nasty activities of certain high-paid, high-ranking officials in the VA that Barack Obama promised us several years ago he would take care of, that have not been taken care of, which are costing us a fortune. It all ties in, doesn't it? It all ties in. So, I'm going to talk about that next week because the veterans deserve to be heard, and this needs to be exposed. Until then, think about how all this ties in together, folks. If you get a chance this weekend, and I'm sure they'll play it again perhaps sometime over the next week, but don't miss it. See Bret Baier's special, Increasing Threats, Shrinking Military. And that'll really tie some of this stuff in for you. It's time we raised holy hell, don't you think? This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Have a great week.
Please remember, if you've missed any shows, just click on Show Archive and you'll find all of his shows. We look forward to seeing you here again next week for another episode of Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side.